heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. I'm Patrick Conley, and if you have been listening to Relevant Radio at all this week, you know that it is our spring pledge drive, inviting you to give some hope and help us to bring Christ to the world through the media. Thank you if you've already given, but if you do benefit from all the great things that Relevant Radio has to offer, please do consider making a gift to us and help us to keep the mission alive. And it's a great opportunity to give hope. You can give online at relevantradio.com. You can give through our mobile app, or you can call 877-291-0123. As always, thank you for your ongoing support. One of the things I'm coming to a greater appreciation of in the liturgical calendar is how the readings are structured to take us deep into the experience of Jesus and his disciples, but they're also looking ahead to what is to come. This Sunday's Gospel for the sixth Sunday of Easter is a great example. Although the reading itself takes place in the Upper Room Discourse of John 14, so before Jesus suffered, it now serves as a fantastic reminder of what Jesus told his disciples in the upper room and casts our hearts and minds ahead to the coming celebration of Pentecost. Jesus says to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you." And then he goes on. He goes on to promise them, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live and you will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you." Now, these are great promises, to be sure. And we can see how they were fulfilled in the very first Pentecost and continue to be fulfilled in the church today, specifically through the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist. Well, one thing to note here in our passage, Jesus bookends these great promises to never leave us with an injunction to keep his commandments. And why? Because keeping his commandments are inextricably tied to love. He explains, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me." So in putting all these things together, Jesus' instruction to keep his commandments and the promise of the Holy Spirit, we come to the recognition that once again, it's all about being united to Christ in love. The promised Holy Spirit is of little use to the one who does not love, for God is love. For the one who loves and desires a deep relationship with God, however, the Holy Spirit is nothing less than God himself residing within us and sharing his divine life with us, that we too may overcome death and have life and have it to the full. Another wonderful program coming to your way this day. Here are some numbers for you. 14 years in the NFL, one Super Bowl championship, 8 children, one run for Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, and the founder of one Catholic school. Today we chat with Matt Burke about his crazy, interesting, and high-profile life. Plus another big name with incredible gifts and accomplishments, Dr. Mary Healy. She joins us to discuss the big Activated Discipleship Seminar, which your parish synod evangelization teams will be attending next weekend, and how we're all called to be disciples. And we head outdoors with Father Jake Anderson and the Catholic Spirits' Dave Hrabacek. They're here to celebrate God's creation now that spring has finally sprung. That's coming your way on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, giving the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Founded in 2019, Unity High School is one of the first Catholic high schools in the South Metro and began with a single class of freshmen. 2023 is a special year for the school, as this will be the year that those freshmen graduate, as seniors, of course, in Unity's first graduating class. You may know Matt Burke from his involvement with our local church and state as a father of eight children, or perhaps for his 14-year NFL career. Regardless of how you know him, he's joining us today to chat about what he's learned since Unity's founding and what he's looking forward to in the years to come. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well. How are you today?
Good. Real good. Good to be with you.
Let's start at the beginning, Matt. So why found a Catholic high school in Burnsville, Minnesota? And were you seeing specific needs in the community?
You know, I wake up at 2 a.m. sometimes with that question on my mind. Why did I open up a Catholic high school in Burnsville? No. You know, I guess I'd have to go way back. When I was playing for the Vikings and the Ravens, you know, I was real... As an NFL player, it's really easy to get involved in the community. And I had a foundation, and it always centered around education, which is, you know, that's part of my story. And I grew up going to Catholic education, grade school and high school in St. Paul. So, you know, kind of saw, I think, some of the flaws in the education model, if you will, sort of just how we, you know, how we educated kids, just kind of really just pushed a lot of information on them. Want them to regurgitate it back to us, and if you can do that, well, then you get A's and B's, and you move on, and gosh dang it, everybody should just go to college too.
Right.
Well, I retired, moved around a little bit, moved to Florida, and took a job in New York, and so I had all these kids of my own, and we're moving, and we're touring Catholic schools, and you know, again, kind of this old model, if you will, and. Heard a lot about academics and achievement in college, heard a lot about sports, and heard less and less about the faith. Mm. And I just kind of thought, you know, for me, I think this model's broken. And so we moved back here about 6 years ago to the Twin Cities, and just kind of had this on my heart that I want to start a school. I want it to be vigorously Catholic. That's important to me. To my family, but I also want it to be, I don't want it to just like aim to like get kids into college. I really want it to prepare kids for life,
yeah,
and ultimately prepare kids for eternity, because, you know, I don't know, most of them will go to college, and you know, but they're all going to have to, you know, function in society at some point, and every single one of them are going to stand before God. So let's do that too. And here we are, 4 years later,
yeah,
first graduating class of Unity Catholic, and it's just sort of been amazing to watch God work in this thing.
I can imagine. So you mentioned preparing kids for life and preparing kids for eternity. So how does that mission kind of play out into the day-to-day functioning of Unity? I mean, what have you implemented and employed in order to serve that mission?
Yeah, I'd say there's two things. One, the Catholic faith offers a pretty good framework for a great life. You know, it really does. A relationship with God, a relationship with others, striving for virtue and character, service. I mean, we know. I mean, even the secular world knows that those things do lend itself to people experiencing fulfillment in their lives. And I think as Catholics, we would say even joy.
Yeah.
So that's number one. And the second thing, we have on Wednesdays, we call Wednesdays Real World Wednesdays, where at Unity Catholic, we don't do anything in any traditional academics, no English class, no math class, no science class. We put all those aside, and on Wednesdays, we have things like, well, we have very practical things like cooking, sewing, personal finance. We have, and then we have other classes where we've had a shop class in the past. Mm-hmm. And then we have other classes that talk about character, leadership. Right now, this semester, we have our boys take the art of masculinity and our girls take feminine genius. Nice. And so, yeah, Wednesdays, we want to teach differently. We want it to be, we always strive for experiential learning, but we want it to be very experiential, very hands-on in some of these subjects. But really getting kids ready for, quote, the real world. What's it really like out there? We bring in a lot of outside speakers to talk about their careers. You know, my kids are always like, they're always like, so Dad, what do you actually do? You know, I think kids are, you know, kids are genuinely curious. It's like, how does the world work? How do people make a living? We bring in a lot of outside speakers to talk about that, but then also how they talk about how their faith, what kind of role that plays in their professional lives too. And I got to tell you, our kids, our families, they love the Wednesdays. I think they probably look forward to it more than the other days. And it's also, being at the middle of the week, it's a great kind of breakup, if you will. And our kids come Wednesdays excited. And then Thursdays, when they come back to their core academic subjects, I think they're refreshed as well.
Yeah. Well, it sounds very intriguing. I like the model, and I like the idea that kids are, as you said, they're getting skills and information that are going to help them in the day-to-day world and the day-to-day life, regardless of where they find themselves. You know, when you're talking about some of these things like, cooking and sewing and financial management and that sort of thing. So it's good. I like it. I like the thought there. So what about at the outset? I mean, there must have been a lot of hurdles to get through in terms of getting Unity off the ground. Not only my wife is a Catholic school principal, and I'm involved with our Catholic school here in my town, but I know that there's things that go into like accreditation and hiring and, you know, there's human resources that are necessary. How did all that play together? Has that been a bumpy road?
You know what? I almost hate to say it, but it really wasn't. I mean, it was, that's when I say it's kind of been, I don't want to sound, you know, kind of cheesy, like it's amazing to see what God has done, but I mean, he must have wanted this to happen. That's the only thing I can say, because my partner and I, Tom Bengston, is the other co-founder of Unity Catholic.
Yeah.
We both had this vision separately that the South Metro needed a Catholic school. You know, there are about 300 kids graduating from Catholic grade schools down there, but only about 75 are going to Catholic high schools. So we said, well, geography's got to be a reason. Cost has got to be a reason. Let's make it affordable. And so we went to try to find, we needed a location. And we were just driving around the South Metro one day, and we drove by this Mary Mother of the Church, a parish that neither Tom nor I had ever heard of. It looked like a very big building.
Yeah,
we pulled in, and come to find out that it was originally built to have a school. It's never had a school. And in 1 week, we met with the pastor, Father Perkel. We met with the parish administrator, Nancy Arbogast. And we were in front of, that Sunday night, we were in front of the parish council. And they said, we'll do a school here.
Wow.
So we are tenants in the school. They give us a great rate. And to your thing about people showing, it's like the right people just keep showing up. I think that people hear about our mission, about what we're trying to do. And, you know, I think that attracts the right kind of people for us. People who are joyful witnesses, people who are serious about their Catholic faith. And people that also, I think, feel that the education model needs to be updated. It needs to be tweaked, because at the end of the day, we all know the statistics. We know the mental health statistics. We know the academic statistics. We're just not doing a good enough job for our kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just been, like I said, it's just been incredible. It's been incredible the last 4 years to watch this go. Has it always been easy? No. I mean, have there been times where we're kind of we've relied on God's providence the whole time, but there's been a few times where, you know, it's like the right person shows up just in the nick of time. You know, God's never late, but he's rarely early also.
I've noticed this, yes.
We sweated it out a few times, but, you know, he just continues to show up. And, you know, case in point, a few weeks ago, we had our first ever, you know, fundraising dinner celebration because we opened up in the fall of 19. Well, then COVID happens. And, you know, we're a small high school. We have 65 students right now. We have 9 graduating seniors. And the Matthew Kelly, the great Matthew Kelly, a hero of mine, showed up and spoke at our celebration dinner. And he said it was the only speech he was going to give all year. And he came to Unity Catholic High School because I think he was intrigued by what we were doing. And it's not just what we're doing in Burnsville for our families. I think what we're showing is that a group of parents can get together and you can start a school. And it doesn't have to look like the legacy schools or traditional schools. It can look different. It can be different. You can stress different things. I think that's what the world needs. I think that's what our kids need. We need different types of schools for different types of kids. And hopefully, you know, we've talked to a lot of parent groups, not just in the state of Minnesota, but all over the country. I talked to a guy last week from Miami who heard about this and just wants to know, how did you do it? And we just say, here's how we did it. Yours is not going to look exactly the same. You're going to name it something else, but here's what we can share with you. And I think that's good. I think that's good because, I mean, it's part of my story, and I think it's part of a lot of people's story, is that Catholic school played a very critical and important role in us becoming strong Catholic people, strong Catholic adults, that those seeds were planted in us when we were young. And some of us, like myself, may have drifted away for a while, but eventually came back, and part of the reason we came back is because, like I said, those seeds were planted inside of us at a young age.
Right, and I do think that's been a testimony that I've heard time and time again, too, of people who may have drifted away, as you said, but it was the foundation of their Catholic education in their early years, and then especially in the high school years, too, that can be really powerful in drawing them back into the church. Well, Matt, we've only got a couple minutes left, but how about in those couple minutes you give us a look into something that's in your head for the years to come? Anything you've got brewing there for Unity High School?
Yeah, I mean, you know, now that we've got all 4 grades this year, and I say we're kind of like a permanent school now. We're no longer in the startup phase. I do see. I would like to see more experiential learning going on. I'm a big fan, you know, just because all of us, you, me, and especially our kids, we're very digital creatures. I would like to really build out a really robust kind of, I'll call it a shop program, but I want our kids at Unity handling tools more than any students in the country. I think there's a lot of value in being able to do things for yourself, but I also think there's a lot of value, regardless of what your plans are after high school, to working with your hands, learning with your hands, having to solve problems. You know, one of the, I think, central beliefs we have at Unity Catholic is that all of us are entrepreneurs because we're all entrepreneurs of our own lives. Mm-hmm. And so we work hard to try to cultivate those skills of entrepreneurship. And whether they do apply to business or college or whatever, we feel like those things, like being able to collaborate and being able to have resiliency and courage, those things bode well for life. And I think one of the ways that we can really cultivate that is with a strong shop program at Unity. So that's kind of what I'm focused on right now. But you know, who knows what God has in store down there. We'll just try to keep discerning that and trying to follow His lead.
To keep doing His will. Where can people find out more about Unity, Matt?
You can go online. We've got a pretty snazzy website. I think it's Unity Catholic mn.com or .org. And you can check us out, or, you know, you can swing by anytime you like and take a look. The great thing about Unity is, being as small as it is, if you want a tour, it only takes about 10 or 15 minutes. So you don't have to, carve out a long portion of your day. But, yeah, that's where we're at. Mary Martha, the church, right on Cliff Road and Highway 77, right across the Burnsville, or the Egan-Burnsville border.
Very good. Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and we are grateful for all of your efforts with Unity High School. God bless you as you continue to take in more students and graduate more.
Well, I appreciate it, and big Relevant Radio fan. Appreciate the ministry that you guys do. Thank you very much.
You can find out more information about Unity Catholic High School at unitycatholicmn.org. We are grateful for all the Catholic schools within our archdiocese. Please pray for all the students and the teachers as they wrap up this school year. When we return, Dr. Mary Healy chats about next weekend's special synod event and how it'll affect your parish. Stick around.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. We're gearing up for another transformational synod event happening next weekend, May 20th, the Activated Disciples Seminar. The seminar will leave our parish synod evangelization team members, well, activated and set on fire for the mission of evangelizing. Joining us today to explain more about the day and her role as keynote speaker is Dr. Mary Healy, a professor of scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit and a best-selling author and national speaker. Dr. Healy, it's a joy to be speaking with you. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be speaking with you, too.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this upcoming event first. Our Synod Evangelization team members, they've been going through this three-part process, including attending the School of Discipleship, participating in a 40-day discipleship challenge, and now we look ahead to part three, which is this Activated Disciples Seminar happening on May 20th. So what happens during this seminar?
Yes, well, first I want to say that I think St. Paul Minneapolis has just become one of the most visionary, forward-looking diocese in the country, and I'm so excited about what Archbishop Hebda is doing there. I come a couple times a year for the Activated Disciples Seminar, and it's going to be similar, but this time a big group, because it's the leadership teams from all the parishes, and basically we are going to speak about the Holy Spirit, testify to the need for the Holy Spirit in our lives as disciples of Jesus, with personal witnesses, personal testimonies, and then we're actually going to pray for, allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives in a deeper way, and see what He will do. And I always see the Lord surprise people, change people, excite people, set them on fire. And I have no doubt He's going to do that this time.
Yeah, yep. It sounds exciting already. I'm anticipatory, as it sounds like you are too, Dr. Healy. So what is your specific role in the seminar?
Well, my role is to speak about the Holy Spirit from Scripture, talk about what do we see in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, about the role the Holy Spirit plays in the life of a disciple. And it always surprises people. There are things they never saw. They never realized what Jesus says, and then what the Acts of the Apostles shows us about how important it is for us to be specifically led by the Holy Spirit and activated in his gifts and his anointing that he has given to every Christian in order for us to carry out our mission. So, like, if we are, we've been trying to carry out our mission as a church, like driving a car without gas. And it's actually the pressures of our culture today, which is increasingly secular and hostile to faith, that is making the church return to our beginnings, return to the foundations given by the Lord that we kind of neglected for a long time. You know, we've kind of over centuries gotten the idea that, you know, we know how to do this. You know, we know how to do Christian life. We know how to do evangelizing, the mission of the church, catechesis, all the things we're supposed to do, but with a kind of self-reliance that, you know, we have our teachings, we have our programs, our structures, our parish ways of doing things, and the Lord, he's using the challenges of the present time to break us out of our earthbound and man-centered thinking and ways of acting, and leading us back to a radical reliance on the Holy Spirit, which is the way the early Christians were, and so many saints who have made a massive impact through the centuries. So I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to participate with Jeff Cavins and Father Michael Becker and others in praying for the Holy Spirit to come.
Fantastic. And it sounds really, really like I really appreciate the perspective that you're putting on that, that there is a need to break out from our, as you said, man-centered, everything that our society
earthbound
pushes on us. Yeah, yeah, right. Earthbound kind of perspective of, yeah, I got to do this all myself, which has never been the plan. One of the things you said as well, Dr. Healy, was that we, you said on every Christian, and I think sometimes we can get into this mindset, especially with the upcoming celebration of Pentecost and everything. We hear about the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the disciples. We hear about the birthday of the church, that sort of thing, that we kind of view the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a general way. But it sounds to me like you're helping us to rediscover how the Holy Spirit has actually been poured out into our individual heart. Yeah.
Yes. Right. We do think of it in a general way, and we think of it as simply a sacramental, you know, kind of objective doctrinal thing that happens, like when we are baptized, when we're confirmed, we receive the Holy Spirit. But in fact, it's meant to be a much more personal, individual thing. Each one of us is meant to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person. He's not just a power, you know, an anonymous force. He's a person who wants to speak to us, wants to lead us day by day, give us divine wisdom for whatever challenging circumstances we're facing, give us even his supernatural gifts that empower us to carry out our unique mission in the place that the Lord has placed us. Mm-hmm. And when somebody starts to discover that, it's so wonderful. It's so life-giving. It's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. It very much is. And one of the things that I like to quip often, and I'm sure I'm not the first person who said this, but the Holy Spirit is the, you know, as a Christian, is the air we breathe. I mean, the Holy Spirit, he is the one who is guiding and leading and directing us if we but give him permission. And would you say that's true? Is that the role of the disciple, to invite the Holy Spirit in, to give the Holy Spirit permission to work in and through us?
Yes, absolutely. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman in the sense that he will not force us. He won't coerce us. You know, he'll let us go on our own if that's what we choose. So we have to make a very conscious and repeated decision to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and our minds. And that it takes a lot of practice, yielding to the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit. It's not our natural thing, but it is our supernatural thing. It's the way God created us to live. He created us to live dependent on the Holy Spirit. And when we begin little by little to put into practice yielding to the Holy Spirit, it brings so much more fruitfulness and so much more peace as we walk through the day, and so much more trust in God, and so much more victory as we're facing whatever challenges we might face for the day. So it's a lifelong work to, you know, to practice surrendering. We have to practice surrendering.
Right. And that word surrendering, I mean, you're already getting at this when you're using words like fruitfulness and peace and trust and victory, that you're starting to identify the fruits that come from inviting the Holy Spirit to have such a role in our own lives. But it occurs to me that when we use the language of surrender, which I think is appropriate, I'm not questioning it, but we can sometimes stir up feelings in others of, you know, well, I'm giving up of everything that's mine. I'm giving up my freedom. I'm giving up who I am. But I don't think that's exactly what's going on when we surrender to the Holy Spirit. Am I right about that?
Yeah, there's a paradox there.
Right.
That Jesus talks about. No one can be my disciple unless he denies himself. And to deny yourself at first, that may seem to be suppressing who you are and being untrue to yourself, etc. But the paradox is we become who we truly are when we're surrendering to God, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son of God. We become who we truly are. So, you know, there is a very real kind of letting go of self, but it's only to discover our true self. That's the paradox of the gospel. And the world is today preaching very strongly a different kind of affirmation of self.
Like, right.
Like you have to affirm yourself in the sense of giving in to your every whim, your every wish, your every desire, your every everything that the media tell you you need to be, you ought to be. And that leads to enslavement. Ultimately, it leads to unhappiness because we're fallen and we have all kinds of conflicting and disordered ideas about ourselves and desires. But if we surrender ourselves to Jesus in the Holy Spirit, that's how we paradoxically come to discover who we really are. And we become fully who God created us to be, which is not cookie cutter in the least. It's, you know, the saints are the most unusual people, the most unique, original, creative people. And it's because they surrendered most fully to the Lord in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That is so true. We're speaking with Dr. Mary Helius, professor of scripture at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit, bestselling author, national speaker, about the upcoming Activated Disciples Seminar happening on May 20th for our Synod Evangelization teams. And then this will carry over into our parishes, and we look forward to seeing how that happens. And I feel, Dr. Healy, like we're already getting a good taste of the core of your message and that you are out there instructing and guiding the faithful in doing these things. Is this something that you get to talk about regularly?
Yes, I sure do, because it's what I most love to talk about. It's what I think the Lord has given me to talk about specifically. I just got back from Slovakia and Czech Republic yesterday.
Wow.
And I talked about the Holy Spirit there in the life of disciples. And it was so wonderful to see how the Lord was setting people on fire and giving them new clarity and direction for their life as disciples of Jesus. The Lord is doing this in the church around the world. And
yeah,
it's just amazing to be a part of it.
Amen. May it be so. So what I want to do is I want to ask you, I feel like I'm just trying to get you to give your whole talk here on this interview, which with the few minutes we have, I know that it's not possible, but maybe let's just focus in for a moment on practicality. So we talk about the surrendering to the Holy Spirit of letting the Holy Spirit have permission, but let's get down to really brass tacks. How do I do that? What do I say? To the Holy Spirit?
Well, a good rule in the Christian life is simplicity. Keep it simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. It, you know, there's no formula, But a simple prayer saying, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. I give my entire life to you, Jesus. I give you permission to do whatever you want to do in my life. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I surrender to you all my sins and weaknesses, my gifts, my talents, my assets, my relationships. I give it all to you, Jesus, with nothing held back, no escape clauses. I write you a blank check, Lord. Do whatever you want to do in my life today.
Yeah.
If we pray that sincerely on a daily basis, look out.
He's
going to answer that prayer.
Exactly. I was just thinking. That's why I'm chuckling, is it sounds like a pretty dangerous prayer to pray.
Exactly. It is dangerous.
In my experience anyway, see what you think of this, Dr. Healy. So in my experience is that if I pray that, and let's say I'm only about 60% serious about it, or I'm only 60% invested in it, or giving it over to the Lord only that much, He'll still take that 60% and He'll work with that.
Would
you say that that's
true? Will.
Yeah.
There are examples of that in Scripture, like when the woman at the well said, Lord, give me some of this water. It sounds great. So I won't have to keep coming out to the well. She didn't get it, right? But that didn't hold Jesus back from giving her that living water. It changed her life. So, if you pray it with 60% sincerity, then the Lord will then bring you to 75% and 90% and, ultimately 100%. And He will do more the more we give to Him. I mean, I'm still aiming toward 100%. I'm not there yet.
Right.
I mean, I do make that prayer with all sincerity, but of course we all tend to take back a little during the day. We all tend to be afraid of surrendering to the Lord. And the more we give to Him, the more we just keep surrendering to the best of our ability, the more He will be able to take that and multiply it and turn our water into wine and do what He wants to do, which will be amazing.
In talking about this and talking about how the saints have surrendered most completely to the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, I'm thinking specifically of the prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola, the take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying, right? I mean, that's essentially the prayer.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. What I just said, it was just a paraphrased version of that Saint Ignatius prayer.
Yep, exactly. That's what I'm hearing. Well, Dr. Healy, we've reached the end of our time together, but I'm so grateful for this interview and even more grateful that you're coming to our archdiocese on May the 20th to speak to this Activated Disciples Seminar, and pray that the Holy Spirit would be speaking in and through you and would land afresh, if you will, be poured out anew on all the people who are attending there. So God bless you. Thank you for being part of Practicing Catholic.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. Can't wait to be there in a week and a half.
All right. Very good. Be sure to check out thecatholicspirit.com for coverage on the May 20th Activated Disciples Seminar. Still to come on Practicing Catholic, giving thanks to our Heavenly Father for the great outdoors and fellowship. Father Jake Anderson and Dave Herbacek are here to talk about spring and fishing. We'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways, and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years, and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people. You talk about your faith. You share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Tom Halden filling in the producer role, and Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Ah, the great outdoors. This time of year has me eager to get outside, which, admittedly, isn't too tough to do when you live in the country. But the Archdiocese is gifted with lots of beautiful land to explore this spring and summer, and Dave Herbacek, photographer and reporter for the Catholic Spirit, and Father Jake Anderson of the University of Minnesota's Newman Center are going to be our guides. Father Anderson, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So grateful to be here.
And Dave, it's great to have you on again. Welcome.
Well, Patrick, it's great to be here as well. So this is a fun conversation.
As always, I like having conversations along these lines. Father Anderson, let's start with you. Word on the street is that you're leading the charge for a special fishing trip. Not just any fishing trip, though. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I chaplain a group called St. Zeno Anglers. St. Zeno is the patron of fly fishing. He was an Italian bishop back in the 4th, 5th century. But the group, St. Zeno Anglers, started really organically when I was associate pastor in Stillwater, Minnesota, back in 2016. And just, you know, greeting people as they came out of Mass, I just got to know a lot of men who were fishermen, or fly fishermen in particular. And a lot of these men did not know each other. So one day in the spring, I just invited a lot of these guys over to the rectory to have a little conversation, a little prayer, and to just talk about fishing, because I don't think a lot of them knew each other. And so it started very organically just in 2016, in June, and with about 12 men coming together. And eventually, just the conversation, you know, like, oh, we didn't even know who the patron saint of fishing was. So eventually we looked it up on Google, and it was St. Zeno. And so we were chatting about that, and then, you know, people were meeting each other and saying, hey, we should actually go fishing together. And so like this little haphazard little group started under the title of St. Zeno Anglers. Yeah. And we started going out just during that summer, Thursday late afternoons, early evenings, and we would drive out to one of the area trout streams in Wisconsin and sometimes Minnesota. We would pray a rosary together, have a little conversation, and then split up in twos and go out on the river fishing.
Wow.
And eventually that just started to grow, and we started to, you know, invite other men involved, invite other men to be involved, and then the conversation around having a retreat together started to surface. And so we had a first retreat 4 years ago down in northeast Iowa in the Driftless region, it's called. We had about a dozen men that came together, and it went really, really well. Guys loved it. I loved being there. And so this is now our fourth retreat doing it down in northeast Iowa. We have about 12 to 20 men. There's a lot of men that are involved in St. Zeno Anglers, but not all can make it on retreat. But we're really excited to do a fourth year retreat with about 15 guys.
Wow.
And the theme of this year is called Living in the Power of Jesus, Dignity, Depth, and Daring.
Wow. Well, Father, I got to say, if now that you're letting the cat out of the bag here about St. Zeno Anglers, which, by the way, I had to Google Zeno as well. I had not heard of him before. So thank you for introducing me to a new brother in the faith. The word is getting out. So do you have any limits that you're setting on this? I mean, are you just thoughts to let it grow and grow and grow?
Yeah, it probably can't become, you know, probably over 25 for the retreat anyway, but we rent out two cabins. And so Once we fill the cabins, they're maxed at this point. I think we're almost maxed. We probably actually have a couple spots. There's just a small cost involved just to defray the costs. But really, it's open to anyone. We don't have a communications coordinator or anything. So it's just starting to spread out from Stillwater. But then a few guys from the University of Minnesota come along as well.
Okay. Wow. All right. Very good. Well, I look forward to hearing great things from the St. Zeno Anglers retreat that's coming up. So, Dave, let's draw you into the conversation here. Have you ever done any of these trips with Father Anderson, perchance?
Well, I met Father Anderson back when he was in the seminary, and the thing that got my attention is the fact that he makes his own recurve bows.
Ooh.
And that's actually how I first got to know him, I did a story in the Catholic Spirit about him making recurve bows, and he's actually hunted with them. And he's even made some arrows, and I think he was going to try to make broadheads for hunting. And so he's been doing a lot of that. We did bow hunt together one year at his family farm, had a great time. And I should mention that he was gracious enough to invite me to come on this year's fly fishing retreat. So I eagerly accepted. And so my plan is to go down there, spend a couple days there, and then do story and photos for the Catholic Spirit. So stay tuned on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Stay tuned to thecatholicspirit.com. You might just see some angling men who are following after the Lord, and maybe even a catch of fish. Yeah, well, very, very good. Well, Dave, what this is a dangerous question to ask Dave Hrabacek, knowing you as I do, but what do you love about being outdoors, Dave?
Well, it's funny you should ask right at this moment, because just last night I was setting up a turkey hunting blind in western Wisconsin, and you and I have talked about turkey hunting and my passion for that. And when things green up in May, it's an absolutely glorious time to be out turkey hunting. And things have been greening up pretty fast the last few days. And I have a season that starts on Wednesday and then another one the following week. So I'm taking a week off to go turkey hunting. And then at the end of that time, I go to Northeast Iowa for the fly fishing retreat. So I'm going to be spending lots of time outdoors, and May is one of my favorite times of the year because it warms up, it greens up, and lots of things are active. I haven't done much fly fishing. I did it once out west, and I did catch a small trout, but I'm going to be heavily relying on Father Anderson to teach me a few things about fly fishing, the first being how to not catch your fly in a tree branch. So if we can avoid that pitfall and actually get the fly to land in the water, maybe some good things will happen. But actually, I'm most excited to be out there with my camera, because years ago they had a movie called The River Runs Through It, and the cinematography absolutely fantastic. So I have all these visions in my head of men casting with their fly rods and a beautiful sunrise or sunset and idyllic setting in Northeast Iowa. So I'm really excited about this upcoming trip.
Absolutely. One of my favorite movies. I know someone else, it's one of her favorite movies as well. So yeah, great movie. Great. And as we're talking about the glories of being outside in May, there's other times of the year that it's glorious to be outside as well. And Father Anderson, maybe back to you for a moment. What exactly, how would you recommend that people spend time, or how do you like to spend time in other seasons of the year outdoors?
Absolutely. Yeah, just being outdoors, period, is always a good. But Minnesota and this area just has so much more to offer than people might think. So actually this upcoming week, I'm going out with a group of men from the University of Minnesota. We're going to the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, to the Porcupine Mountains. And people think Michigan, it's a long way away, but it's only 4.5 hours away. We're taking about 20 guys to do a backpacking trip for 3 days up there. It's right at the end of the semester. And I don't know, I've just really found that the outdoors period is always a good, but especially as a priest, just helping men do something shoulder to shoulder and sweat together a little bit tends to draw out something that you can't draw out just by having a conversation after Mass or even a small group. Like doing something together and just being outside really helps draw out the conversations around like what being a disciple of Jesus really means.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a lot of, images of St. John Paul II are flashing through my head. And knowing that he was dedicated to that same sort of mindset that, yes, getting young people certainly, but even men together outside, it draws people out in a way that is sometimes very unexpected and opens new doors. We're speaking with Father Jake Anderson of the University of Minnesota's Newman Center and Dave Hrabacek of photographer and reporter for the Catholic Spirit about being outdoors. Dave, how about you? What other times of the year outside of May, how do you like to get outdoors?
Well, I would definitely underscore what Father Anderson said. And I think as a photographer, I've developed an eye for all of the beauty of the outdoors. I like the fact that we have four seasons here, even winter. I will often go out in the winter and just hike and walk in the woods. And one of the things that's fun about that is with the leaves down, you can see a lot more, a lot farther. And I just like to look at all the tracks, the deer tracks, the turkey tracks, and just get out there, and it's quiet. That's the thing about winter. It has its own unique beauty. It's so quiet. So I like winter. I like fall. I like when the leaves turn, obviously, because then I can get some fun photos of fall colors. But even after the leaves go down, I do deer hunt. I archery hunt, as does Father Anderson. And there is a special beauty of November when the leaves are down and things are open and quiet and just sitting in a deer stand or a deer blind. And I enjoy it whether I see a deer or not, because most of the time, as I think Father Anderson will attest, you don't see a deer. It's just those fleeting moments, maybe the second day or the third day you're out there and you finally see one. And the rest of the time is wonderful as well. And to sit quietly is something I really like. I also like to walk and hike in the woods. That's one of my favorite things to do. You get your body in motion, and you see the natural world, the natural beauty, and it's a whole different atmosphere and rhythm than the city where you're driving through traffic and people are rushing to get from one place to the other. When you're out in the country, there's no traffic jams, there's no noise. It's quiet except for the sounds of nature, the animals, the birds singing. And I just enjoy all aspects of it. Obviously, I like to see turkeys, but I like all the other birds. I remember a couple years ago when I was in my blind, still in the dark, an owl hooted nearby, and it set off a chorus of owl hooting. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. There's just so much to see and experience. And I just think it's good for the soul to get out there and just be in nature.
Right, right. Well, one final question in our two remaining minutes here. Father Anderson, I'll pitch this to you. This isn't something, if you're not in the habit of being out of doors, or if you're not a hunter or a fisherman or something like that, there's still an opportunity there to learn. Like, you're never too old to learn how to appreciate the great outdoors. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely, absolutely. You can just walk outside and just begin in a very simple way. You don't have to have any equipment, any special skills. You can start wherever you are. There's so much available to us, especially here in the Archdiocese, but then just in the greater state of Minnesota. So many opportunities just to step out with really no experience, even if you're not used to doing much of anything. Extremely easy to pop out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking, that it's even if it's just finding a nice, well-appointed local park to just go and sit in for a while, I think it would be a great, great opportunity. Well, thank you both for so much for taking the time to be with us today and encouraging us to get out of doors. Before we let you go, though, Father, may we have a blessing from you?
Absolutely. May God, Almighty Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, bless, consecrate, and come upon you. May He fill you, mind, body, and spirit, with all the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit, and protect you from the powers and the evils of the evil one. May Almighty God bless you, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Jake Anderson, Dave Hrabacek, thank you so much again for being on the show today. God bless you both.
Thank you, Patrick. Great to be here.
Thank you. So grateful to be a part of this.
What a great conversation. And if you're inspired to get outdoors, there are many, many great ways to do it, as we were just saying. But one of the ways I will talk about, too, I'll mention to you, is that if you haven't checked out the Into the Deep retreats, I know that Jen Messing has been on the program a number of times. Check out idretreats.com for some great ways to get out of doors as well. That's for young people and not so young people. Well, we know that you tune in for our great guests and engaging topics, and we appreciate that. But when we come back, some witty banter about some great events happening in the Archdiocese and a look ahead to next week's show. All that's coming up right after this short break. Stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. As I mentioned at the top of the show, if you've been listening to Relevant Radio at all this week, you know that it's our annual Spring Pledge Drive, and we are grateful for all the support that we get to give hope. Our need is $3 million. You can give, be part of that, even by giving an amount of just, well, I suppose a relatively small fraction of that.
$3 would be great.
Yeah, $3 would be fine. Yes, we, you know, help support the mission in whatever way the Lord is leading you. You can give online at relevantradio.com through our mobile app, and also by calling 877-291-0123. We're also grateful because part of your donation will help keep Practicing Catholic going and on the air. So check out, of course, practicingcatholicshow.com for any past episodes that you may have missed and links to our social media events as well.
Okay, some things coming up. Therapy. How do I choose which one is right for me? It's a virtual event for those who have experienced abuse. It's coming up Monday, May 22nd, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Join this informational Q&A with a licensed psychotherapist for a discussion on when to begin therapy, questions to ask a potential therapist, and expectations for therapy. Register online at archspm.org/events.
It's our second favorite website there.
Yes.
Right behind practicingcatholicshow.com. All right. Next up, you know it's coming, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it's an exciting time in our local church. It always is every May. Ordination to the priesthood is happening later in May, but save the date now. It's going to be May 27th at the Cathedral of St. Paul. All the faithful are invited to attend, of course, this joyous celebration of the presbyteral presbyteral ordination.
I could see that coming.
Yeah. I saw it coming and I couldn't pull out of it. It's the ordination for seminarians of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis completing theology for. And whether you can make it or not, please pray. Please pray for these young men. We're going to be speaking with them here in just a couple weeks. We'll have them on the show. But pray for them in the meantime.
The Archdiocese and Pentecost Vigil Mass is coming up Saturday, May 27th. Join in praying.
Same day.
What's
same
that?
Day as the same day as the ordination.
Of course. Yeah. Why do you think they're having the ordination on that day?
Makes sense.
Join in praying for a continued outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our Archdiocese. Prayer meeting will follow the Mass. It's at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Wow, so does that mean I could come for the ordination, stay for the blessings afterwards, and just hang out there until Pentecost Vigil Mass?
You could, yeah.
Huh. All right, well, I love the cathedral. I think people know that. I would not be averse to doing something like that on May 27th. We got other events coming up, too, though. We got a Heart of Flame.
Just a couple. No.
Yeah. A Heart of Flame, an evening of worship, fellowship, and reflection on May 30th. Retrovi for Struggling Marriages is coming up June 2nd to 4th. And the Minnesota Catholic Home Education Conference. So if you're a homeschooler, you might want to consider checking into that. That's June 3rd and 4th. All of these and more can be found over online at, you guessed it, archspm.org/events. That's where it is. Yeah, let's do another show next week. We were able to pull it off, I think that's a good idea. Even in the absence of Cammy, who has gone on to a better place.
Yes.
We were joking last time. No, we wish her well, but she did a lot of planning in her absence. So next time here on Practicing Catholic, we're going to check in with growers at the Lake City Catholic Worker Farm. Plus, a Twin Cities parish opens its doors to support local art and give people a taste of the transcendent. And guess what? Relevant Radio's own Father Rocky is going to be stopping by Practicing Catholic again for a visit and an update on all the great stuff happening on your favorite local Catholic radio network. National Catholic Radio Network, in fact. Thanks for joining us, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.